Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope is a place where you can receive an encouraging word from the Lord every week on Sunday. And so I encourage you to tune in every Sunday, invite your friends to listen every Sunday evening to the Voice of Hope, to encourage you in your faith and walk in the Lord. And today I want to talk about faith in action. And let's begin with the definition of faith. What is faith? We need to understand what faith is, because faith is an important part of our Christian walk and our salvation. And so we see in Hebrews 11:1 the definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, now, there's a difference between hope and faith. Hope is expecting something. A lot of times we confuse faith and hope. So hope is expecting something from God. So you're expecting to be healed. You're expecting God to give you something. Expecting something from God. That's hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance means faith makes it become a reality. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you see, we have a hope and an expectation for something, and faith makes it become a reality. And I've given the example before. If you're going to travel somewhere and you expect the bus to come at a certain time, so because of your expectancy, you leave your home and you walk to the bus stop or place where you're going to meet the bus because you expect the bus to come. That's your hope and expecting the bus to come. But once the bus has come, by faith you get on the bus and believe the bus will take you to your destination and that you won't get killed on the way. So hope is what starts things. Hope is what begins things. So faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So oftentimes we hope for something, but we don't see it become real because we don't have faith. We're expecting something, but it doesn't become a reality. It doesn't happen because we don't have faith. And faith requires action. Faith requires obedience. And we see that in James chapter 20, verse 20 through 24. James chapter 20, verse 20 through 24. You know, you may want to get a piece of paper and write these scriptures down, and you can look at them later. But James 2:20 says, "But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar?" So James is referring to a story in the Old Testament to show that faith requires works. In other words, faith has to be put into action. Faith by itself will not produce anything. It has to be put in obedience. And he gives the example of Abraham offering his son Isaac. Now we know the story of Abraham, that God had promised Abraham a son, and Abraham waited 24 years for that son. And he became 100 years old. His wife Sarah became 90. They still didn't have any children. She was barren. And then by a miracle of God, this old man and this old lady had the first child, a son named Isaac, the child of promise. And Isaac had grown up to be a teenager, maybe, about 15 years old or 17 years old. And he was the only child of Abraham and Sarah. And by this time, Abraham's about 120 years old. And so this is their only child. And so God, it's the only child by Sarah. God appears, and we look in Genesis chapter 22, Genesis 22, we see that when Isaac had become a teenager, it says in Genesis 22, verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." So this was a test of Abraham's faith to see whether his faith was really in God. So God asked Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. So an angel appears to Abraham and tells Abraham that he needs to sacrifice his own son. That is the only son of promise. In other words, Abraham, this was a son in which God was going to bless Abraham's descendants through Isaac, and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Isaac. That was God's promise through Isaac, his son. But God is asking Abraham to offer Isaac. And so Abraham has a dream, and in his dream, God tells him to do this. So Abraham doesn't argue with God. He obeys God. And he gets up the next morning, and he and Isaac head off to this mountain to make the sacrifice. And Isaac is carrying the wood, and Abraham is carrying the fire, but they have no animal to sacrifice. And so they're on the way up the mountain, and Isaac asks his father, you know, I see we have the fire and the wood, but we don't have, what are we going to sacrifice? And God, and Abraham said, God will provide a sacrifice. And so they continue up the mountain, and Abraham builds an altar. He puts the wood on the altar. Then he takes Isaac, his son who's alive, his 15 or 16 or 17-year-old son who's alive, the son of promise. He puts Isaac on the altar, ties him up on the altar, and he lifts his knife to kill Isaac and to sacrifice him. And when he did that, the Lord spoke from heaven in Genesis 22, verse 15. And the Lord said, God said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of his enemies, and your seed, all nations of the earth, will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. So Abraham, because of his obedience, because he believed in God, God says, you've done this thing, and you've not withheld your only son. So Abraham demonstrated his faith by sacrificing that which was most important to him, that which was promised him, his only son. And because of his obedience, God renewed his covenant with Abraham. Now, you see, God had already appeared to Abraham many times before, but God is testing Abraham again. And so you look back in James chapter 2, verse 20 through 24. It says, but do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? So Abraham is demonstrating his faith by willing to offer his son. So James goes on and says, do you not see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, his faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled saying, Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So you see that man is justified by works and not by faith only. So, you know, we demonstrate our faith through our actions. It's a progressive thing. You know, we're saved by faith. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by faith. But then it goes on, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the same faith that saves us is the same faith that enables us to do the work of God, to do what God has called us to do. It says, for we are God's workmanship, you know, where God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are saved by faith. We can't do anything to save ourselves. A good example of that is Israel's deliverance from Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. And so we see that Israel, God's chosen people, have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And they cry out to God for God to save them. And God sends Moses to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. And God brings 9 plagues on Egypt that almost destroys all of Egypt. And then the 10th plague that they had was called Passover plague. And this last plague, God said he was going to kill the firstborn of every household in Egypt. But he told the children of Israel that if they would take, they would sacrifice a lamb, they would take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost of the house. You'll see this in Exodus 12. You put on the doorpost around the door of their house, the blood of the lamb. And they would go inside the house and they would eat the lamb together. And during the night, the death angel came to Egypt and killed the firstborn of every family. But any family that had the blood over the door of the house and were eating the lamb inside the house, where their firstborn was not killed by the death angel. Why? Because of the protection of the blood of the lamb. And that blood of the lamb is the blood of Jesus Christ that's shed for our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ protects us from death. Now you say our body dies, but when we are born again, except Christ our Savior, our spirit man doesn't die. Our spirit man lives for eternity. Our spirit man lives in heaven. We are born again. But that happens by faith. And so they celebrated Passover, and they celebrated their deliverance from Egypt. And so the death angel went through Egypt, killed all the firstborn Egyptians, but all the firstborn Israeli people, God's people, because they put the blood over their doorposts and ate the lamb inside their house. All those inside the house under the blood were saved. They didn't have their firstborn die. And because of that, the Egyptians said, "You need to get out of our country." And they chased the Israelites out of the country. And there were over 2 million Israelites in Egypt at that time. And so the Israelites left Egypt, and they not only left Egypt in poverty, it says all the Egyptians gave their money and their jewelry and their clothing and all their wealth to the children of Israel as they left Egypt because they had seen the power of God. And so, see, we are saved by faith. Ephesians says, by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. So we are saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When you put your faith that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away your sin, you are saved. There's nothing else you can do to save yourself. Going to church does not save you. Doing good things does not save you. Obeying laws does not save you. No, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ because you put your confidence and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. And because you do that, even though you've not done anything to deserve salvation, you come under the blood of Jesus, just like the children of Israel did, and the death angel could not touch you. You are born again. You become a child of Almighty God by faith. Nothing you do to do that. So if you've never accepted Jesus and you want to do that right now, you can do that right now with me. And you can repeat this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior today. I choose to give my life to you and follow you the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from my sins and giving me eternal life. Thank you for making me your child today, in Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer today, you are born again, you have been washed, your sins have been washed away. By faith, you become a child of God. And so, just like Israel was delivered from Egypt by faith because of the blood of the Lamb, we have been delivered by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it goes on to say in Exodus chapter 14, as you continue with Exodus 14, after delivered from Egypt, and Egypt represents the world, after being delivered from Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land, they come to the Red Sea. And this is a big ocean, big water you cannot get across. You can't swim across. It's too big to get across. It's called the Red Sea. And they had to cross the Red Sea to get to the Promised Land. And there was no way there weren't boats enough to carry over 2 million people. They couldn't swim across. There was no way to get across. So they're stuck there at the Red Sea. And in the meantime, the Egyptians, they now regret letting the Israelites go because the Israelites were their slaves and did all the work. And so they decide they're going to chase the Israelites. And so they send their army to chase the Israelites, to kill them and bring them back into captivity in Egypt. And so the Israelites are at the Red Sea. They can't get across. And they see the Egyptians coming up to kill them and take them back. And so they're in a very difficult place right now. And, you know, sometimes when people get saved, they think life is going to become easy. No, often when you get saved, the enemy attacks you all the more because he doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to live your life for Jesus Christ. So you can sometimes, after you get saved, even come under more attacks. So Israel is under this attack from the Egyptians, even though they've been delivered by faith from Egypt, and you've been delivered by faith from sin, the enemy still wants to come after you. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 through 17, Exodus 14, 15 through 17, and so they're all crowded up at the Red Sea, 2 million people, the Egyptians behind them. It looks like there's no way of escape. It looks like they're going to die or be taken captive back into slavery. And so they're at the Red Sea crying out to God. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground in the midst of the sea." So God says, "Why are you crying out to me? No, go forward." They said, "How can we go forward? There's this big ocean in front of us. The Red Sea's in front of us. We can't go forward." Then God says, "Stretch forth, Moses, stretch forth your rod over the Red Sea, and I will part the Red Sea, and the children will cross on the bottom of the Red Sea on dry ground." See, they had been saved by faith from Egypt. Nothing they had done to save themselves. God had delivered them. But now they're facing a huge problem. And God says, "Why are you crying out to me? No, I have given you the solution to the problem. I have given you my power. I have given you my ability. Moses, what do you have in your hand? You have a rod. Stretch that rod out. Go forward." See, oftentimes, we don't understand. We're saved by faith. By grace, we're saved. And we're delivered from sin. We're delivered from the power of death. We are now children of God. But we run into some problems, maybe some financial problems, maybe some attack of the enemy, some health problems, other problems. And we cry out to God. Say, "God, help me, heal me, deliver me from this problem, provide my need." And God says, "Why are you crying out to me? You're my child now. I've given you my word. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you the power and ability to overcome the enemy. Why are you crying out to me?" See, faith requires an action. Faith required Moses extending his rod over the water. It's just a stick. But by faith and obedience to God, Moses put the stick over the water, and the water was parted, and then by faith, the children of Israel walked on dry ground. Now, we got to remember, when the water was parted, it was two big mountains of water on both sides. Some people believe the water was so high, it was like two or three stories high. And so they're walking in between these two great walls of water on dry ground through the middle of the Red Sea. And they have to do that by faith. It's an act of faith and obedience. See, James said, you know, we got to act in faith. Faith without works is dead. Abraham obeyed God in faith. So, you know, God has given us authority and power. The rod is the power of God. The rod is the word of God that God has given us to overcome the power of the enemy. God has given us his Holy Spirit to overcome the power of the enemy. But we do that by acting in faith. God says, "Don't cry out to me. No, I've given you the power and ability. You need to act in faith in what I have told you to do. See, Abraham acted in faith, and he was called a friend of God. He was declared righteous. Righteous means right relationship with God. See, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you know, we hope, we have an expectation, but if you're a child of God, born again and serving God, then God has given you the ability to act on his word. But you have to act in faith and do what God has told you to do. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you've been saved by faith, nothing you could do. But by faith you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So God has prepared things for you to do. God has blessings for you. God has good things for you. But you need to act in faith, because faith is what produces those good works that God has for you. See, in Hebrews, you continue down in Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. And we go back to God's promise to Abraham. If you go back in Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abraham in Genesis 12, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family. This is Exodus 12:1. And he says, and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, I will bless you and make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So this is God's promise to Abraham. But Abraham in faith had to do something. And the writer of Hebrews records this in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he did not know, and he received an inheritance. So we saw in Genesis 12 that Abraham, God told Abraham, I want to leave your country and go to a country you do not know. So it says, by faith, Abraham, what? Obeyed. See, faith requires an action. See, as long as Abraham stayed in his own country, see, his own country was a safe place. Abraham had a nice house in his own country. He had his own, everything he needed in his own country. His family and relatives were all there, everything he needed. But God is saying, to come into the blessing I want to give you, by faith you have to leave the place of security, the place of comfort that you have, and you have to go on a journey with me to a country you do not know. So it says, by faith Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. It says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. And so Abraham had to act in faith. He had to step out in faith in God. And he had to wait 24 years before he had Isaac, from the time of promise till the time he received the promise. And you see, God calls us into this journey of faith with him. Well, I have some people that contact me and say, Pastor Clark, I need your help. I have this problem or this problem. I say, well, what has God told you to do? See, you need to act in faith in what God tells you to do. Faith requires action. Abraham, in faith, stepped out and left his own place of security, his own country, went on a journey he did not know. You know, 40 years ago, I went on a journey. God called me to leave my home country of America and go as a missionary and go overseas. And by faith, I did what God told me to do. And it was great sacrifice. I had to give up everything I had. Had to give up my home. I was engaged to be married at that time. The girl didn't want to be a missionary, so I had to leave everything. I had to leave her. I had to leave my car. I had to leave everything I had to go on this journey with God. And I have been on this journey with God for over 40 years, and I have traveled to many nations and been used to God. Why? Because I had to act in faith. And I have to continue to act in faith. You see, Abraham, after he'd been on this journey for a long time, and he had, after 24 years, he finally has a son of promise, Isaac. Then we see in James that God, and in Genesis chapter 22, we see that God tests Abraham, says, this son I've given you, I want you to sacrifice him. See, there are sacrifices we have to make. See, on this journey that I have been with God, there are sacrifices I've had to make. Even today I make sacrifices. There are many things I could have as an American that I don't have because I've given them up to do the work of God. And I enjoy doing the sacrifice because the sacrifice is what produces the blessing of God. God promised Abraham, if you do this, I will bless you. I will make your descendants like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the seashore. All this land I will give you, and you will be a blessing to many people and many nations. But on the way, God tested Abraham and said, offer your son Isaac. See, God gives tests along the way. You know, when you go to school, you have exams. You have to have exams to go into secondary school. You have to get exams to go into university. There are exams in our Christian walk, exams of faith, and they require action. See, there are a lot of people that say they have faith. They're believing God for something, but there's no action. What are you doing about your faith? What is God calling you to do? I know that finances are very difficult in Kenya and Uganda and in much of the world right now. Finances are very difficult, but we have to act in faith. And because Abraham acted in faith, it said Abraham was a father of faith. And because of that, God counted Abraham righteous. God became right relationship with Abraham. And he was called a friend of God because of his obedience to what God had told him to do. We have to act in faith. We don't have faith just because we have something. No, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we do not see. We're hoping for something, but we act in faith for it. You know, I shared this last week from Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Genesis 26, verse 12 says, Isaac, Abraham's son, there was famine in the land, drought in the land, and it says, Isaac sowed during the time of famine in Genesis 26:12, and Isaac reaped the same year 100-fold what he had sown, and the Lord blessed him, and Isaac became very rich because he did what God told him to do. During famine, when things were not good, Isaac still sowed in faith. And God is calling us today. I believe God is getting ready to do great things in the earth. God wants to do great things in our life. But we have to begin to walk in faith. I talked about last week how God wants to enlarge your tent. God wants to increase your capacity. God wants to do great and new things. But we're going to have to move into a greater faith to receive what God has for us. Lord God, we just rejoice in you today. We magnify your name because by faith, by grace, you have saved us, Lord God. And by faith, we receive that salvation, Lord God. And by faith, we are children of God today, Lord God. And we have an opportunity to come into all the blessings that we enjoy as children of God. But Lord, you are calling us even today and testing us today. Are we going to act in faith and do what you have called us to do? I pray, Lord God, you encourage every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. Encourage their faith, Lord God. May they rise up in you, Lord God, and believe you for what you have promised them. Believe you for what seems impossible because you are a God of the impossible. Lord, we bless your name and magnify you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you to invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. You can also listen to Voice of Hope on Facebook. I do a little podcast, Voice of Hope Today with Pastor Andy Clark, or Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. And I just want to encourage you in the Lord. God is faithful. God is greater than your problem. And I just want to encourage you in your faith today. May God bless you and keep you this week, help you to walk in faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope to see you or talk with you next week on the Voice of Hope. God bless you.